There's a lot to be said about having friendships. Living your life in a lonely state can really wear and tear on your health, especially your mental health.
Friendship really is an art and a skill. There's an art and a skill to it. I didn't have friends the second time, and it seemed like I could not pay women to be my friend.
There are some people that don't really have those quality, deep relationships. And as an adult, they're still searching. And so how do you start off finding a friend as an adult?
Yeah.
You're listening to the Visibly Fit Podcast. Hey, I'm your host, Wendy Pett. And every week, I'll give you holistic, practical solutions for everyday issues related to nutrition, healing, functional fitness, and behavior modifications. As a naturopath, fitness expert, and wellness coach for over 20 years, my goal is to empower you to reach for greater health and to rise up to your next level of living in mind, body, and spirit. You were created with greatness in mind. It's time to own it. Are you with me? Then let's dive in.
Hello and welcome to the Visibly Fit Podcast. I'm your host, Wendy Pett. This is the month of May, if you're listening to this live time, which is Mental Health Awareness Month. And I've talked about this before, about how so many people actually are suffering from chronic loneliness. I've done talks around this, speaking at different organizations. I've talked on this podcast about chronic loneliness. And I really want to address this today in the term of how not to be lonely, number one, but also how to make friends. Friendships are important, especially as women. And so I have a guest on the show today who's going to talk a lot about friendship and the power of good friends. I wanted to read Ecclesiastes 4, 9 through 10 first. And it says, two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. That's one great scripture verse around friendship. Or how about Proverbs 17, 17? A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for a time of adversity. There's so many different scripture verses around friendship, and our Lord is really sensitive to our needs and wants our heart's desire. And I believe that all of us deserve and desire to have quality friendships in our life. And so maybe you're in a place where you don't really have great friendships, or maybe your good friend has passed away, or maybe you've moved to a different location and you don't know how to make new friends. Well, I'm telling you, today you're going to really want to listen up, because the guest that I have on today is going to share her heart from the book that she wrote, and it's called Desperate Women Seeks Friends, Real Talk About Connection, Rejection, and Trying Again for the Friendships You Need. So see, yeah, we need friendships. We really do. When we don't have friendships, I mean, women are especially made to have friendships, but you know, you can actually be more prone and at risk for psychiatric diseases and issues on down the road. It can cause you to be more prone to dementia and Alzheimer's. Like, having a friendship is powerful. Having a tribe is powerful. So anyway, I'm going to introduce you to my guest. I'm going to quit yakking here. So my guest, her name is Kristen Strong, and she is a respected author and encourager whose works include Girl Meets Change and Back Roads to Belonging. Those were her previous two books. Kristen has a meaningful online presence, sharing insights on faith and friendship through her website and contributions to platforms like Dayspring's Encourage. So I already mentioned the name of the book we're going to talk about today, but the book, it offers an honest and encouraging guide for women struggling with loneliness and that they long for meaningful relationships and friendships. Drawing from her experience as a military spouse who frequently had to start over in new communities, Kristen shares practical strategies and heartfelt wisdom to help women navigate the challenges of making, maintaining, and healing friendships. Through real-life stories, biblical insights, and actionable advice, this book empowers readers to set healthy boundaries, overcome rejection, and build the deep connections they crave, while reminding them that Jesus is the ultimate friend who never fails. You are going to love Kristen. She's like a girlfriend you've always known. At least that's what I felt whenever I first welcomed her in. So enjoy the podcast, and I hope it resonates with you and helps you in your time of need of maybe finding a friend. Well, welcome, Kristen Strong, to the Visibly Fit podcast. It's so great to have you.
Oh my gosh, I'm so happy to be here, Wendy. Thank you for having me.
Yes, this is great. And this is a great time to talk about this topic because this is the month of May that this podcast episode is being released. And this is kind of Mental Health Awareness Month. And, you know, there's a lot that is to be said about having friendships and how that, you know, not being lonely and living your life in a lonely state, it can really wear and tear on your health, but especially your mental health. But I want to talk about initially, you've just written a book, and I love the title, and I'm going to read the full title. You probably have it by heart, but it's Desperate Women Seeks Friends. And then the subtitle is Real Talk About Connection, Rejection, and Trying Again for the Friendships You Need. Why did you write a book about friendship?
Well, because it has just been a pervasive theme in my life of kind of studying it and figuring it out, you know. So I grew up in Osage County, Oklahoma, on O'Neill Lane. And so my maiden name was O'Neill, and everybody's last name on O'Neill Lane was O'Neill. So
tight family.
Yes. And a big family, you know, and just familiarity and the blessings that gives. And so when I met and fell in love with my now then boyfriend, now husband, David Strong, we met in college, and he was going on the he was in ROTC to become an Air Force officer. And so then we moved to his first duty station. And I mean, for the first time in my life, I knew everyone. Like, I felt like I knew everyone growing up in small town Oklahoma. And then I went to not knowing anyone and just sort of expecting friends to just sort of appear, you know, drop down on my front porch, you know, without me having to do any work, you know, like Harry Potter or something apparating. And that is not the way it works. And so since that time, it's just really been a learning curve, because I believe friendship, we don't think this when we look at people's social media. We think like everybody's got their, you know, Phoebe, Monica, and Rachel. But friendship really is an art and a skill. There's an art and a skill to it. And I didn't know how to do that. And so until I kind of had that baptism by fire education that the Air Force gave me. I would say that led into it. I will, since you kindly mentioned the title, that came from when we lived in Dayton, Ohio, the second time. We were stationed there twice. But my second time was very different from my first time. I didn't have friends the second time. And it seemed like I could not pay women to be my friend. And so I told my husband one day, and this was 2005, so before social media, I said, I am going to make a sign that says desperate woman seeks friends and hold it in the yard and just see if I get any takers. And so anyway, it has, you know, it has been now by the grace of God, I feel like I do have a good set of friends. I've lived in Colorado Springs now for 15 years, and it's still been hard sometimes, even when you're not transitioning, to make friends. Absolutely. But boy, that hasn't always been the case where I've had a good group of friends as I do now.
Well, I totally get it, because I'm a Texas girl. So, you know, Texas A&M and Oklahoma, we could have a little rivalry.
My daughter goes to A&M.
Oh, is that right? Okay,
yes.
That's so great.
Well, and we're Oklahoma State.
So
Cowboys. We are not Sooners.
Okay. Well, let's be clear so we can have this conversation.
We're good. We're good anyway. I love a lot of Sooners.
That's hilarious. You know, but no, I was Texas moved, and I live in Minnesota. So I get it. I've been here 26, 28 years. I've lost count, but I remember that same feeling. Like, I know no one.
Yeah,
and
sure.
It's kind of weird when all you know is your family back home and you're tight with them and you think, yeah, I'm just going to make friends. Not a big deal. But I'm sure you've noticed this too, being in as military, moving around. there's different cultures in different parts of the country.
Yeah, there truly is. Yeah.
And how they, like in Texas and Oklahoma, let's just get real. I think we're very open and like, come on over for dinner, like whatever. It's very warm and friendly.
Absolutely.
And not that it's not in other places. It just takes a little longer to tap into that, right?
Oh, absolutely. Like you, when you pass somebody, you whether you know them or not in Oklahoma or Texas, you say hi, just
right.
a little greeting.
You wave.
And yes. And when we moved to Ohio the first time, that was that first duty station. Yeah, I started doing that and nobody was answering because it's cold, you know, it's just not a part of that culture up there.
And right.
So,
and
yeah,
I'm a hugger. Are you a hugger? Because I came up here hugging people and they were like stiff armed. And I'm like, what's the big deal? And I mean, it's fascinating.
It is fascinating. Yeah. That is so very true.
Oh, that's so funny. Well, I believe, you know, well, first of all, Gallup did a study and I actually did a presentation at a chiropractic convention a while back about the chronic episode of loneliness. And Gallup did a poll where they said 44 million people are suffering from chronic loneliness. And I think it's fascinating because a lot of them are Gen Z.
Yes, yes. That is very, I, in my research, I learned the same. They're, you know, the digital natives of
right.
our society, that's kind of the, you know, one of the names that's been given to them. They are kind of, and not that us older folks, I'm Gen X, not that us older folks
yeah.
don't suffer from the same thing.
Oh, for sure. But it's more prevalent. Yeah.
But it's more prevalent where they're kind of losing the art of reading interpersonal cues. And a lot of that comes with face-to-face time, you know, as social media just grows. And for those kiddos who have been raised with that, you know, it's kind of in their DNA. I think there's some drawbacks to that.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting as they get older, but it's just fascinating because with social media, they don't think maybe they're lonely, but when they put that phone down, that's when the loneliness sets in and they're in that kind of addicted kind of state from the dopamine hits and all of that from scrolling and whatever, that they don't realize it until again, they put that phone down and they're like, ooh, missing something here.
Yeah. Exactly. I always feel like social media is like eating during the day with just breadcrumb by breadcrumb, whereas face-to-face time is sitting down to a meal, you know, it's much more satisfying. But you know, we kind of have to learn the art of self-control. And like I said, I can struggle with that as well.
Sure.
But not to the degree as somebody who has just had this they don't know life without it. So.
Yeah. Well, it's so important, as you know, cause you're a woman. We need friends. Like that's
yes.
how God made us all, you know, God gave Adam Eve because we're not to be alone, but women are really social people. Like we learn from one another. We're meant to be in a tribe kind of a thing. And I'm just curious, I mean, especially as an adult woman, it is harder to find a quality friendship. Like I've got my friends, like I've got my people. Right. And sometimes I'm like, mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, I can't handle like more friends right now. You know, like I've got my people and only so much time, but there are some people that don't really have those quality, deep relationships. And as an adult, they're still searching. And so How do you start off finding a friend as an adult?
Yeah. That's
awkward.
A very good question.
Yeah,
it is. And I think that's part of it is sort of just knowing it's going to be awkward and accepting that instead of saying, I'm going to avoid the awkward, because then you're avoiding the benefits that come with it. My friend, Holly Girth, who's also a writer, she says, awkward is the price of connection. Awkward is the price of admission to connection is what she says, actually.
That's good. Yeah.
And I think you cannot get to the friendship without just that awkward fact that it's, you know, introducing yourself to somebody, seeing if there's a friendship spark, as it were. I've read some articles on that. But like, you know, there's a connection there because it's vulnerable. Even just doing that is vulnerable, you know, regardless of how deep you get in the beginning, although eventually you do need to make, you know, you want the deep friendships, not just the, not shallow ones. The deep ones are where the best rewards are. But yeah, I think accepting that it's awkward and then also just being willing to go first. I like to say, you know, in my life, what has helped me is to think about showing up, opening up, praying up. And so showing up is I'm putting myself where women are. So I, you know, if I'm just hiding in my house, you know, I'm not going to meet people. And right. So I've got to get out and about and cross paths where women
are. You need to slap on some lipstick, put on some yes. clothes that's not your jammies yeah. and get out the door. Yeah.
Yes. Get out the door. Yeah. And, or, you know, put on your yoga pants and go hiking with somebody, you know,
right.
like you got to get out and about. And then, opening up is opening up my home. You know, it was a great lesson for me to learn that nobody wants my home to look like a museum because nobody can relax in a museum. And I used to be real concerned about, you know, being looking just so and all of that. Nobody really cares. As long as you have a place for somebody to sit and to just talk and share, that is really all they need. You know, if you offer them a cup of coffee, excellent, or, you know, a piece of pie from a pie you bought at the store, excellent as well. Or, you know, a meal if you want to do that as well. There's just something about opening up your home to someone that is akin to opening up your heart to them. And
yeah, yeah. I want to stop on that for just a second, because that was what you were saying is, you know, with the show up, open up, and pray up. With the open up, it is vulnerable. And opening up your home can be vulnerable. And so do you think in this, I guess with social media that looks also perfect all the time, that people are kind of afraid to open up, that, oh my gosh, people might find out my faults. People might find out I'm human and you know, yes. I got kitchen or, you know, dishes in the sink or whatever it is, but also opening up your heart to somebody. Do you think people are just afraid? And maybe
I think that's a very good point. Yeah. Because, you know, another advantage of social media is it kind of helps you circumvent a lot of that. It circumvents the awkward because you can get away with just showing less of yourself. Mm-hmm. And same thing, like it circumvents maybe some feeling like you're going to be judged negatively or found coming up short by somebody. Because opening up your house, yeah, that is a vulnerable act. But boy, I mean, listen, I'm not going to say everybody I've ever had in my house has ended up being like a true blue friend of mine. That isn't true. But everyone who is a true blue friend has been to my house.
Right.
And so, you know, there's just real value in doing that and just knowing that, honestly, nobody is judging you because they're too busy worried about themselves and how they're coming across.
Amen,
you know?
Sister. Right. So, we're so worried about being judged, and you're absolutely right. No one's thinking about what you're thinking they're thinking about.
Yeah, I don't even see it. And I'm a pretty detailed person. But when I'm at somebody, if somebody has kindly invited me over, like I don't even see the laundry or whatever. I'm just enjoying the fact that somebody thought enough of me to ask me over. So.
Right. Yeah, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. You know, one of your very first chapters is about how to be a good friend to yourself. And I think, wow, that's a great way to open up your book, because so many women are not really good friends to themselves. And so how can you be a friend to somebody else if you really don't even like yourself much? So let's talk about that for a minute.
Yeah, well, you need to, I'm a believing woman. I'm a Christian. And so
yeah, it's a Christian podcast.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm speaking to my people here.
Yes, you are.
So as a believer, I need to know that I am worth loving and worth being, you know, somebody being friends with. Now, that doesn't mean everybody I've ever thought I'd have a friendship with necessarily reciprocates that, you know, that it takes two yeses to have
That's
a
right.
friendship.
That's right.
So if the other person's not a yes, then I have to trust that, you know, I'm not internalizing that as negatively. I'm just seeing it as this person is not God's best for me. So I think kind of keeping that in mind and going from a healthy place of also like, okay, I'm worth being friends with, but also I want to make sure I am bringing my best self to others. And I'm not maybe inadvertently giving in to blind spots or, you know, problems that sabotage a friendship. Like, for example, my story is I've never really been the mean girl, but I have been the needy girl. I can be really needy in friendships. And listen, both come out of a lot of insecurity. So I'm not saying being needy is any more preferable than perhaps being the mean girl. But I am saying that I had to kind of see that tendency of mine. I could be a little overwhelming, I think, with sometimes because I feel big, I love big, and, you know, that can be. And I think really before I was actively, I mean, I've always been a Christian, but before I actively went to the Lord first every day to meet with him, to get my cup filled from him, I think I would try to get it filled from other people. And no person is set up to be able to handle that. So it was a lesson in my, you know, I felt like the Lord removed that blind spot for me. And so I learned, like, okay, when I am filled up with him, I don't feel like I got to get it all the things from all the other people. Amen. And then I just to bring an amount of friendship that's a blessing and, you know, and then are a blessing to others as well.
Yeah, you're balanced, you're satisfied, you're filled up because he's our comforter, he's our friend, he's our, you know, our confidant, he's our all in all, our counselor, everything. So that we're not like wanting to phone a friend quick when we have the next thing that comes up and we're in panic and our emotions are leading the charge to a friendship, and that friendship is like, whew, that's too much. Won't be answering that call next time, you know. Yeah, so so, but there's boundaries. And so the fact that you acknowledge that is huge. Like, that's very healthy to do kind of an assessment of ourselves to make sure, wow, am I a little too much right now? Or am I taking this to the Lord first? Like, this is all really good and helpful information. It's good.
Yeah. Well, thank you. And the blessing in that is we can always go to God because we are never, ever too much for him. Like, that's he has endless capacity for all our needs and he welcomes it. He's like, give me all the neediness. I'll take it all. And so, God, you know, is that's an appropriate response with him. You know, us mere mortals, it's, you know, we do have limited capacity.
Yes, we do. So having healthy boundaries with friendships is very important. And so what are kind of like a rule of thumb as far as for you personally with boundaries with friends? And maybe you don't want people to know what these boundaries are until they cross them. I don't know. But
tell
maybe it'd be helpful.
Secrets. Yeah. Yes. I guess, do you mean in terms of myself, like if I'm, so I don't overwhelm another friend or
just in general? Vice versa too. Like,
so a friend doesn't overwhelm me.
Exactly. Yeah. Or step over boundaries, like showing up at your door all the time. And you're like, whoa, okay, I invited you over and that was great, but and I don't want you here every day at 4 o'clock. I mean, you know what I mean?
Like, right. Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, what words that I have actually said when I've encountered that. And I have encountered that from the other side of the fence. And I always feel like the Lord's like, number one, you know, don't get too annoyed, Miss Kristen, because you have been the gal who is overwhelmed.
Good.
So
stay
I
humble.
Do always, yes, I do. I try to stay humble with that. But I have said before, because I did have a friend one time who did insist on coming over, and it was not a good time. And I said it wasn't a good time, but she insisted on coming over. And then she kind of read me the riot act over some things she didn't like that I was doing. And the phrase I use that I have said is, you know, I think you want more from me than I am equipped to give. You know, I wish I could give you more, but I just can't in this season. So I'm making it about me, you know, even though I think that's a very reasonable thing to say. But it's also, but it kind of diffuses it a little bit.
And, it's healthy.
And just kind of gives the other person, you know, the truth that I do have boundaries and I do have limits. And, you know, I don't have endless capacity for anybody, you know, not even the people who live in my house, you know, who get the most of me that anybody can get other than, you know, Jesus. But, you know, even then there would be limits. Like,
for
I have
sure.
to go to bed at night and stuff
yeah.
like that.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, yeah.
And
so
Yeah, I was just thinking that because I think sometimes women don't know how to put up healthy boundaries. And I think what you just said right there is a very healthy statement and a way that it doesn't make someone else feel like they're the problem. It's more of like, no, this is right. where I'm at right now. I appreciate you and I like you as a friend, but in this season, I don't have the capacity. So, you know, it's telling them, it's being honest. And we have to be honest with our friends.
Absolutely. Yeah. So I agree.
Yeah. So let's talk about honesty for just a minute, because iron sharpens iron. And I think sometimes people have a tendency to gravitate to those people that are like always make you feel your best and feel good and that kind of thing. But really, I mean, I always want you to be happy and, you know, that kind of thing, which is great. But true friendship dives into some tough conversations sometimes, right?
Oh yeah. I mean, are you really even a good friend if you're not, if you're not above a painful rebuke, you know, when you see it happening? And there's a way to do it, you know, like there's a way to do it in a kind way. Like my counselor I saw, she had this, you know, is it true? Is it kind? Is it helpful? And so, you know, having hard conversations, I would kind of think of those three things, but you know, that's when you are, that is maturity, is being able to hear a painful rebuke or being brave enough to give one in a way that is true, but also kind and help. And, you know, the end goal is for it to be helpful. I think that's absolutely a part of friendship. I think sometimes today we're a little, I don't know, it seems we're awfully prone to let our emotions kind of drive our actions. Yeah. And emotions are important. Like, listen, I'm a feeler of all feelers.
Yes. But staying stuck in some of those feelings, it's like,
yes. Yeah. And like, I think I've heard it said, I don't know who said it originally. It wasn't me, but like they get a seat in the car, but they don't get to drive the car. And
that's good.
Yeah. And so sometimes you have to set those feelings aside where you may be scared or your pride. Like sometimes if we're getting the rebuke, you got to just tell your pride to sit down. Like this is for you. And I'm one where sometimes I need to kind of, when a friend has come to me and said, you know, I think maybe this is something you're not seeing is a problem. And I've had to sit on a couple of days and go, oh yeah, you know, I think that is a thing. Mm-hmm. Now you might hear something from somebody and after a couple of days go, no, that I am not feeling convicted at all. I think that other person was projecting or something was going on there that this was not a thing. So it could be both ways, but we cannot get so full of ourselves that we believe that we, you know, don't need course correction from time
exactly.
to time.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. I mean, you know, the phrase, go where you're celebrated, not where you're tolerated. I think that's an important phrase, but yet sometimes we need to go where we're celebrated, but also, what am I trying to say?
Yeah.
Also where maybe we are being tolerated as well in that friendship and they need to tell us, okay, we're tolerating you right now because X, Y, and Z, and we just want to celebrate you. So can you step it up a notch and get through this issue? And maybe you got blinders on. So it's just important to have those people around you so you become better.
Absolutely. And I think it's like the motive makes the difference. And with prayer, you know, we can discern. I think the Lord helps us discern people's motives. You know, if they're for you, but giving you this rebuke, you know, like a parent with kids, I mean, how often, you know, and it's not because we are just, you know, enjoying, you know, giving them having a difficult conversation with them, but because like we are for you, we want to see, you know, we want to call you to higher and better. And this is getting in the way of that. And so it's all about the person's motive, and we have to trust the history of the friendship to know, you know, that motive.
Amen. So. And speaking of motive, it's so important. You write about this in your book too, about celebrating others genuinely.
Yeah.
And really having those sisters around you that are going to help celebrate your wins and pick you up when you're down, but celebrate you instead of being jealous or envious or whatever. That's not true friendship. Like, we want to lift one another up.
Oh, absolutely. And It's yeah. And you can, you know, you can just tell, like I think about when I got my first
expression on their faces.
Yes. Their words can say one thing, but their face says something different. I think about when I got my first book contract and I told a friend about it and her words said congratulations, but yeah, her body language did not say congratulations. And that's just harmful because then I feel like I can't share my joys with her. I guess she's only interested if things are terrible, you know, or at least it makes me think that way. But again, I think that's more about her than about me, you know,
well,
in that moment.
Well, it's the old adage, misery loves company, right? Like,
right.
So definitely.
But yeah, we want to be a friend who's there for both. We want to divide the sorrows and double the joys and be one who celebrates earnestly. And because, you know, and maybe, and I'm sure I did struggle with this more in my 20s, but the blessing of being 50 is like, there is enough celebration where I can celebrate your success, Wendy. And I don't feel it's taken away from God's best for me. Like he's got a big enough pool for all of us to have our blessings, and one person is not less for the other person. And so, yeah, being able to be there for those times and the really hard times, you know, is just, you know, absolutely paramount.
Yeah, that's so good. And you also talk about in your book about having bookend friendships, which I am so grateful and thankful that I do have this, but the young friends and also the older friends, because we learn from both, right?
Oh, yes. I mean, the older friends.
Older, more mature.
Older, I should say. Older friends. But yeah, I mean, they're a wealth of wisdom. And I know I talk about in the book, this group of ladies from a church we attended, Emmanuel Lutheran. They were just wonderful. And whatever I shared, you know, there wasn't a pearl clutcher in the bunch, you know, like,
cute.
You couldn't shock them because they'd just seen and heard it all.
Right.
So they were just such a breath of fresh air and such a breath and just brought such wisdom. But then the younger folks, you know, my millennial friends, my Gen Z friends, they bring such an energy and vitality, you know, and help me from, you know, not getting cynic, which sometimes older folks do.
Right.
So I think they're both just key and great areas to look for friends, not just in our same age and stage of life, but in those fringe parts of stages of life too.
Yeah, for sure. I knew a gal who had a daycare, and she actually started to open up daycares next to like assisted living homes, and allowing these children and older folks to interact, and the progress for both was absolutely amazing. And so she opened up several, and it's just powerful just to be around people of different age groups, you know?
I am writing that down because I want to look up that article. That is fantastic.
Yes,
love that.
Yeah, I will give you more details.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, I would love that because one thing I did do before my daughter was born, my twins were little, we would go visit a nursing home like once a week. I don't know. I've always loved older people. And then, you know, it was just kind of something to do. They had also a huge lawn, so I could let my 2-year-olds burn energy because I have
boys.
Twins that are, yeah, twin boys. And then I have a daughter too. But yeah, the twin boys, I was like, run until you fall over. But I love that. I mean, wow, how intentional. And what a great thing. What a great
thing. Truly. And speaking of intentional, as you know, someone listening may be like, you know, I've got some friends, but I really want more friends, or I want deeper relationships, or I don't know where to go get friends. And maybe I am lonely. I didn't really think I was, but maybe I am after I've listened to this. I mean, just kind of, what's your take on where to find friends? Because I actually recently talked to someone in the military, and she said she's on the Bumble app. And I thought, ooh, well, isn't that a dating app? Like, I don't know. I'm old. I don't know. And she's like, oh, no, you can go there for friendship. And I said, oh, well, that's interesting. I never thought about that. But I thought of like meetup groups. And I don't know. What are your thoughts about how to meet people? I mean, church. Yeah.
Yeah, certainly, you know, church is a place where, you know, ideally you make some friends. some believing friends, whether they go to your church or another church. Yeah, I have heard that about there's apps, like there's friendship apps. And so, yeah, people do meetups to see if they have a connection.
It just seems so weird to me, but it's normal now, I think.
It is normal. I know it is normal. I think for the digital natives, it's very normal, you know? Yeah. But where I go is, I mean, I think getting out in your neighborhood, you know, being intentional not to just pull in your, if you're in a home, in the garage and shut the door and, you know, people just see your ankles, you know, when it goes down or comes up, getting out, walking in your neighborhood, introducing yourself to the neighbors. Like I've actually peeked over the fence when my sweet little neighbor was outside where we used to live. Now it's, well, actually, we met new neighbors. We live out in the country, but we met new neighbors this Sunday. But we walked across the street. We saw they were outside and we introduced ourselves to them.
You made the first move. Yeah.
Yeah. I made the first move. Yeah. And they were very sweet and very grateful for that, too, because they were like, oh, we'd love to get together with you, you know, sometime. But I've looked over the fence and said, hi, I'm Kristen, you know, before. when my kids were little, I did story time was a great way to meet place to meet folks, like Barnes & Noble or the library. One good friend of mine, Sherry, she and I met because we just kept showing up at the park at the same time with our kids. So we struck up a friendship that way. I think then if, you know, of course, if you have kids, as they get older, PTO, PTA groups, or just volunteering in your kid's classroom or being involved in homeschool groups, if you're that.
Yeah.
Now, if you're single, I know, like, honestly, once you have kids, it is easier to make friends, I think, because you just, you know,
kids
come in contact.
Kids or dogs, if you have animals.
Kids or dogs, yes, kids or dogs. You make friends, at the dog park or with kids in the bleachers, you know, bleacher friends and stuff like that. But if you're single, I do think it is harder, but I think like anything, like if I wanted to climb Pikes Peak, it is going to be harder than climbing the hill that is my lane I live off of. You know, I'm going to have to work more at it. And so when you're single, I think, or perhaps you don't have kids, maybe you're newly married or like I was, and my husband was just gone all the time when I was newly married. Yeah. And so it was harder to make friends. But I, you know, would attend campus events, reach out to just folks that I made. I mean, like one time I literally just told a gal on the street that I really liked her boots, which I did really like. And so we struck up a conversation for 20 minutes. Now, nothing came of that. I won't say, oh, and then we were great friends. That did not happen. But like even just encounters like that, and then being one, of course, that was before cell phones. Maybe I would have said, can I have your number? Maybe we can have coffee sometime. I didn't do that. But I mean, I guess we did still have a phone number, but I didn't think about doing that. But like just taking advantage, if you feel the Holy Spirit sort of nudging you to somebody, just act on it. Because the worst they can do is say no. And I get that that's not, not fun. Any sort of level of rejection or perceived rejection is just not fun. But just making the most of where the places you are going to the gym, to church, to your favorite coffee shop, any of those places, making the most of it and just seeing what happens.
Yeah. And I think what you said is so right on point. Listen for the Holy Spirit nudge.
Yeah.
I mean, I've had that happen myself when I was a single mom, actually, and I was playing catch with my son in this field. And at the time we lived in townhomes and there was a woman across the way that lived there, a younger gal. And I don't know, in the middle of playing catch, I'm like, hold on a minute. Like the Holy Spirit just said, go talk to her. So I ran and talked with her. We've been friends ever since. And this has been, you know, like 20 years. It's been, 18 years, something like that. And so that we've been friends. So it's pretty cool. So I think the Holy Spirit nudge is the way to go for sure. That way, you know, it's directed by him.
Absolutely. And there's always classes too. Are you interested in painting or ceramics or a cooking class? Like there are options. It takes some boots on the ground to get in. So,
well, Kristen, you're a delight. And I know you've written other books as well, and you're a sought after speaker, and people are going to want to get this book and your other books as well. And do they just go to kristenstrong.com?
Yep, that's right. It's K-R-I-S-T-E-N, strong.com. You can find all my books on my website. And I'm also on Instagram, too, at Kristen Strong.
So. Perfect, perfect. Well, thank you for being the guest on the show, because having a friendship is important to not just a friendship, but multiple friendships is important to our health. So I wanted to make that clear to everybody. So thanks for being on. Take care.
Thank you so much. You were a delight, Wendy. Thank you.
Blessings. Well, thanks so much for tuning into this episode of Visibly Fit. I hope you enjoyed hearing from Kristen Strong. Make sure you go and visit her at kristenstrong.com and get her new book and maybe her other previous books while you're there. Again, thanks so much for joining us on this episode. And if you are looking for a tribe to assist you and to stick with you through your health and your wellness journey, I've got a tribe for you. Yes, I do. And a program that will get you to your healthiest, best self and mind, body, spirit. If you are ready and maybe you just want to kind of check things out, maybe you just want to grab my free 7-day meal plan and workout routine, go to wendypet.com. You can grab those free resources there. But if you are ready to like dive in and get visibly fit, that's where you'll go. You'll go to getvisiblyfit.com, and that's where my program is. It's just a 7-week program, and I promise you will see incredible results. Just look at all the testimonials on that website. You will be so encouraged, and we can get started right away. So if you have questions, let me know, but we have an incredible tribe that meets every week. I'm telling you, there is prayer. We laugh, we cry, we do this thing together and get you to your next place of health and healing. And sometimes it's our mindset issues. Sometimes it's our spiritual walk. Sometimes, of course, it's the food on our plate or the movement that you're not maybe knowing how to do or not doing. And so that's where that accountability and that tribe comes in. But I would be just honored to guide you and get you to your healthiest, best self this year. So go to getvisiblyfit.com and I'll meet you there. Thanks so much for tuning into this episode, and we'll catch you next week. Take care.
Well, that's a wrap for today's show. So thank you so much for tuning in. I love spending this time with you. To learn more and get more free resources, just head on over to wendypet.com. And thank you in advance for sharing this episode and this podcast, following and subscribing not only to this podcast, but finding me on social media, Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, wherever you are, I'm probably there too. Until next week and our next podcast time together, make it a visibly fit day.